Technocratic Tyranny News. It's 10 past midday on the 3rd of October 2022. And I just made an attempt at doing a show from the laptop and that didn't work. So I'm going to do it from my mobile phone instead. So there has been a little bit of drama, political drama, so not in a major way, but economic drama as a result of the political drama, which has affected a lot of people in the UK and will affect them for a good long time to come, unfortunately. So it's a serious thing, even though it's theatre and even though it's people playing mind games and one-upmanship and people being stabbed in the back and all of the usual goings on in political circles. It does affect the real economy as well because of the interest rate rise that follows. So there's been drama following the mini budget last week. That's 2 weeks ago now. And we're still dealing with the fallout of that. So it's the Tory party conference this week. And there's been a U-turn on the attempted cut in the top rate of tax, which affects people earning £150,000 or more. So the plan was to reduce the rate from 45p in the pound to 40p in the pound. That's now been scrapped. And the announcement was made at the Tory party conference this morning, I believe. I'm going to play some news clips of people responding to the U-turn.
For their constituents, and ultimately the Prime Minister and Chancellor decided to change tack because they obviously are listening. This is a government that listens, and that's what they've done. But the key point is that 95% of this growth plan by value is going ahead
absolutely.
As planned, and it will help, and it will help get our economy growing, Kate.
Sure. Mr. Phil, did you present the Chancellor and the would-be Prime Minister with a paper outlining that this would be a good idea during the election campaign for the new Prime Minister?
I was asked to look at a whole, like, dozens and dozens
did
of different
ideas. Did you or did you not present them with a paper suggesting this was a good idea?
I'm not going to go into the details of what ideas were or were not discussed by cabinet.
Why not?
Because those are private conversations, Kay. And what I'm interested in talking about is the growth
plan that's going to
see wages rising.
Was it your idea?
I would not describe it as my idea, no. But we discussed lots of ideas. I discussed those ideas. I was asked to analyse different ideas. We discussed dozens of different things. They were discussed with me, with lots and lots of other people, members of Parliament and other people as well. We put together the growth plan, which will get our economy growing. It will see wages rising and it will see a sustainable tax base developed.
I've allowed you to say that, Mr. Phil. Did you
present public services? Well, it's an important point.
Did you present Ms. Truss and Mr. Kwarteng with a paper suggesting that this is what would happen if there was a cut from 45p to 40p?
Okay, Kay, I did not produce a paper specifically on this measure. We discussed lots of different ideas. Okay, I think I've said as much as I want to say about this. Lots and lots of different ideas were discussed.
I'm sure that's
lots
the case, but nevertheless, it's my job to press
people.
You on it. And my question is, as part of a paper, as part of a work, as part of a body of work that was given to them during the election campaign, did you suggest in writing that this could be a good idea?
I'm not going to go any further into private discussions that were held over the summer. I've said as much as I want to say about this. You know, there were widespread discussions involving me, involving other people, involving dozens of different ideas. And, you know, decisions ultimately get made by the Chancellor and by the Prime Minister, listening to a lot of different people.
It was your idea, wasn't it?
I wouldn't describe it as my idea, no.
Whose idea was it?
I've already said a lot of different ideas got discussed by a lot of different people during the course of the campaign and subsequently. But the growth plan, the whole growth plan, was a team effort, which was debated and ultimately decided on by the Prime Minister and the Chancellor. And the growth plan is an extremely positive plan. It will see taxes falling for every single working family by an average of £430 each. It'll see infrastructure projects getting expedited. It will see the energy intervention, which is stopping families who would otherwise have faced bills of £6,000-£7,000 a year, getting those bills capped at £2,500 a year on average. Instead, it'll see domestic energy supplies getting stimulated, so we're no longer reliant on importing electricity from overseas. So this is a really positive plan, and talking to members of parliament or listening to what they've been saying, I think almost all of this plan is being widely welcomed. There was this one element that's now being removed to avoid it being a distraction.
Do you think that people should own their mistakes?
Look, I think this government is one that, like any government, is one that should listen. Listen to our democracy. We should listen to the public. We're a parliamentary democracy, so we should listen to MPs. And I think when a measure is found which is proving to be a distraction, which doesn't command the support that we would like to see, then it's a sensible and responsive thing to, rather than being very sort of inflexible and saying, well, we're not going to listen, we're just going to plough on anyway, to be responsive and to change course is the right thing to do. That is, you know, I think you'd like to see, your viewers would like to see, a government which listens and which responds to parliamentary opinion, because obviously MPs speak for their constituents and for constituents directly as well. And I see that as a point of sort of maturity and strength, frankly. But then what the Chancellor is going to be talking about today in his speech just after 4 o'clock are the positive elements in the growth plan that will get our country growing, which I know I have said once or twice before.
Point. Okay, fantastic. We know what time the speech is. Let's come back to the point. Do you think, I'm sure my viewers will want to know, do you think that politicians should own their mistakes?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the Chancellor's been going on TV, on other TV programmes this morning. Well, yes, of course politicians should be responsible. And
but you're
I
not
think
owning
that's what
your
you're
mistake,
seeing today.
You're, you? Seeing... you're not owning your mistake, are you?
Well, no, I mean, that's, I don't think that's accurate or fair, to be quite honest.
Why?
Well, because, you know, these are broadly based discussions. Lots of people are involved. The decisions are taken by the Prime Minister and the Chancellor. I was one of many people involved in those discussions, and I don't accept your characterisation.
OK, so you didn't put anything in writing at all that said that this was a good idea? Because obviously, if there's a bit of paper saying that, that's going to come to light at some stage. Now's your opportunity to say whether you did or not.
I just told you I analysed a whole different idea, a number of ideas.
I was one of them, cutting the top rated tax. Was one of them cutting the
top rated tax? I'm not going to get into
those. It's a straightforward question, Mr.
Bill.
I'm giving you the opportunity to own your mistake.
And I'm saying I'm not going to get into the details of who said what when. When policies get discussed and made internally, people don't give a running commentary on exactly who was involved in which discussion. A lot of different people were involved. A lot of different ideas got discussed by different people. And I think that people will understand that. What matters now is that we've listened to public opinion. We've listened to parliamentary opinion. This idea clearly wasn't popular. And therefore, we've removed it so it's not a distraction from the very positive wider growth plan.
When did you realise it was a bad idea?
Well, I think the economics of it, there's a very strong case for doing it. As I've been saying probably on your programme, I don't think you were presenting that day, but you know, for reasons of international competitiveness, there is a strong economic case, but it's become very clear over the last few days that the public and parliamentary opinion don't like the idea for a variety of reasons. And so we've responded to that because we are a government that listens, and that's, I think, a good thing.
Yeah, but I mean, you were cutting, a millionaire would get an extra £55,000 a year, but you weren't restoring the universal credit uplift. That would mean that £55,000 a year, that universal credit would pay for 57 years for a family of four. We're in the middle of a cost of living crisis. People cannot heat their homes. And you and others thought it was a good idea to cut the tax that millionaires were paying. At what stage were you listening, reading the runes, listening to what the public were saying?
Well, first of all, no decisions have been made on universal credit. The DWP secretary will go through the normal process in the course of the autumn. Secondly,
so it's possible that that could come back. Is that
possible?
Sorry, just to pick you up on that. Is that going to come back?
What is what going to come back?
universal credit uplift, that's not been completely off the table, because I've been speaking to your colleagues last week and they said
it hasn't been decided.
I mean, you're the Chancellor's right-hand man, you would know.
The DWP secretary makes decisions under statute about things like universal credit. There's a process that the DWP secretary goes through every autumn. That is happening, or that will be happening shortly, in the normal way. So there's nothing I can say one way or the other about universal credit. That's going through its normal process. But to answer your point about the top rate, that was about 1/20th, about less than 5%. Of the fiscal measures in the growth plan. The growth plan contains broadly based tax cuts that benefit all working families, around about 30 million people, which will see them £450 a year better off on average. The additional rate measure, if you look at the table, it was a relatively small, very small part, in fact, of the total measures. It was less than 1/20th of all of the measures in the plan taken as a whole.
Yeah. But you're missing the optics here, are you not, Mr. Phil? The fact is, fat cats getting shed loads more money is how my viewers will be seeing it this morning, as opposed to people who are deciding whether or not they can put food in their kids' bellies. It's not about the money.
And that's why,
it's about the optics.
Yes, that's right.
And you thought it was a good idea. You thought it was a good idea.
So we do accept.
No, you personally thought it was a good idea.
Well, a number of people thought it was a good idea.
No, I'm talking to you this morning, and you thought it was a good idea.
Yes. So the economics of this, there's a very strong economic case, which I've been setting out on your programme and others in the last week or so, which is to do with economic competitiveness. It's about, as you played the clip from the Chancellor in the House of Commons, from a couple of weeks ago, saying that we need to be economically competitive compared to other countries to make sure people locate here. So that was the economic argument. It's quite a good one. However, there is another argument, which is the one you've just made about the optics and the juxtaposition of the tax cut for people on higher incomes at a difficult time. And the government has accepted, the Chancellor and Prime Minister have accepted that argument, the case that you just put, is the more important one. And that's why they've changed their mind, which is, I think, the right thing to do in response to people's very strong feelings. There is an economic argument on the other side that they've weighed them up, which is the one I just mentioned briefly a second ago. They've weighed the two up and come to their decision.
The Prime Minister said yesterday that it was the Chancellor's decision, not hers.
Well, I mean, the Chancellor is the minister who is primarily responsible, obviously, for budget decisions. That's just a statement of regular fact. But of course, you know, they talk to each other a great deal and to other ministers as well. And it's ultimately collectively decided and supported.
OK, so she was wrong to say that it was the Chancellor's decision.
Well, I mean, she was right to say the Chancellor is the minister primarily responsible for this policy area, but obviously it gets discussed more widely as well.
OK, it's great to talk to you. I know that you're going to have a rough round this morning of talking to other media, but we appreciate you coming to talk to us as always. Thank you.
OK, thank you, Kay.
Morning, everybody. It is Monday. You are very welcome to join us here on The Breakfast Show on Sky. Big breaking news for you that will impact almost all of us. We're hearing that Liz Truss is preparing to scrap plans to remove the 45p top rate of income tax for the highest earners. Downing Street has faced a bitter backlash against the plans, led by the former Cabinet Minister Michael Gove, who said that the Prime Minister had no mandate for the change. Grant Shapps, who will speak to shortly, the ex-Transport Secretary, agreeing with him, saying handing big giveaways to people who need them least is no way forward. Joining us now is our political editor, Beth Rigby. Hi, Beth, you're up at conference, Tory Party conference in Birmingham. Tell us more.
Morning, Kay. A huge story is emerging this morning, which has huge implications for the government and, as you said, the country. Having insisted yesterday that she would stand firm, the Prime Minister and her Chancellor are expected to decide to announce that they are not proceeding with that decision to abolish the top rate of tax. That's the 45 pence tax rate. It affects 1% of earners, those earning £150,000 a year. They were going to scrap it from April 2023 next year. And as I understand it, they will now not proceed with that policy. It's a massive U-turn. Even yesterday, as I said, the Prime Minister said we have to stay the course. But the rebellion, not just from backbenchers, but I think also from within government, has obviously proved too great.
OK, why have they done this? In a great scheme of things, it's not a lot of money, but they weren't reading the room, were they?
That's exactly right, Kate. It wasn't a lot of money. It saved £2 billion tax cuts, or cost £2 billion rather, and that was in a £45 billion package. But it was not consulted upon in Cabinet. Liz Truss told the BBC that yesterday. And Kwasi Kwarteng took the decision. One Cabinet minister said to me it wasn't right that he hadn't told the Cabinet. He should have discussed it more widely, given that it was such a contentious policy. And the political toxicity, if you like, of cutting the top rate of tax for the richest people, or richest earners, should I say, in the country amid a cost of living crisis has prompted a huge rebellion. And we've seen it with Michael Gove yesterday publicly coming out saying it should be opposed, and Grant Shapps, who I think you're going to be speaking to soon, Kay, saying in an article in the Times this morning that it was an unforced error harming the government's economic credibility. Now, those calls are not just happening outside government, they are happening inside too. Liz Truss obviously wants to reset the dial. She wants to get rid of this story, this problem, this rebellion. It was going to dominate the party conference, and they are now, I think, preparing to announce that they will not proceed. It's the first massive U-turn of a government and of a prime minister that has insisted all along that the political optics of policies is not her concern. She wants to do what's right. She told me that she's prepared to be unpopular. It's clearly a step too far, and I think it speaks to the fact that underneath the smooth exterior of this conference that the Conservatives are trying to portray, that there are a lot of choppy waters underneath. And this is a Prime Minister who's now having to make decisions she might not want to in order to try and take down the political temperature.
OK, so she threw the Chancellor under the bus yesterday. Is the writing on the wall for him now?
I think that the Chancellor has had a really difficult start because of this policy. I've asked a lot of people in the party about that. There's no doubt that they would agree that he has been embattled. But I think the thing that Conservatives say to me as well is that the project, if you like, of this radical change to economic policy is really being driven by Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng in unison with the other two in their economic quad, as they call it, which is Simon Clark, the Levelling Up Secretary, and Jacob Rees-Mogg, the Business Secretary. And quite frankly, I think Liz Truss at the moment is quite politically vulnerable because she doesn't have a groundswell of support in the backbenches, and some very, very senior people, such as Grant Shapps and Michael Gove, are making it difficult for her. So however she is feeling about her Chancellor or tensions, she might decide now is not the time. I should also say, though, that I have pressed those around Liz Truss about this sense of tension between her and her Chancellor. And on the issue of the 45 pence rate of tax, I was told yesterday that the Prime Minister fully backed Kwasi Kwarteng's decision to do it, even though today they are reversing. So in terms of the outward perception, Number 10 is certainly trying to present it as a united front between the Chancellor and the Prime Minister. But this is obviously going to be hugely politically difficult for Kwasi Kwarteng on the day that he is delivering his economic speech on the economy, his speech on the economy, in which he was about to say this afternoon, we have to stay the course. And
all right, so it's party conference season, so drama happens like this all the time. This one's made a difference to interest rates on mortgages, so it's affecting everybody with a mortgage, which means everybody's watching it. I think I'm going to leave it there. That's a good summary of what's going on. I'll maybe cover Kwasi Kwarteng's speech later on today. Could probably get away with doing that live for 20 minutes or 25 minutes at 4 o'clock. So I shall call this one out a day. I'll see you later.